If you'll please turn first thing to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And we will read from the Old King James Version of the Bible. Study to shew yourself, thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. There are a few translations that use that word study. That word actually means to use speed. In other words, to make effort, be prompt or earnest, do diligence or give diligence, be diligent, forward, endeavor, labor, and then the last word is study. You and I, when we think of the word study, we think of getting our head into the book or books and reading and learning knowledge. This particular application of the word study is actually quite different. We can look at the analytical literal translation and the New King James Version also. It will be very similar, but analytical breaks it all down. Be eager or diligent to present yourself approved to God as a worker with no need to be ashamed, cutting straight, figuratively teaching accurately, or interpreting correctly the word of truth. The Apostle Paul was admonishing Timothy to represent his office as elder of the church, to diligently work, to represent his responsibilities. In this case, specifically by representing accurately the Scriptures and the Gospel. Though this passage in 2 Timothy 2:15 is not telling Timothy to read or study his Bible to show himself approved for teaching the Word, there does remain a logic that you cannot, as a teacher, represent the Word without knowing that Word. We also should understand that though elders of the church must be steadfast representatives of that Word, it is every member of the body who is responsible for living by that same word. In both cases, this does require knowledge of the Word of God. We could turn quickly to Acts chapter 17 and verse 10 and see this job actively taken on by those who would hear the word. In verse 10, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. The synagogue is where you will find the scrolls of the Scriptures. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. You see, the Gutenberg printing press wasn't actually invented until the 1400s, around 1455. Before this time, it is not likely a follower of Jesus Christ had a copy of the Old Testament or the New Testament sitting in their living room for daily study. However, with that fact in mind, Jesus promised in Matthew 16 and verse 18 that the gates of hell, or the grave, shall not prevail against the church of God. Here is my point. The words Paul wrote to Timothy were not about studying his Bible or the scrolls daily. His admonition, not that he wouldn't go to synagogue and do that. His admonition to this elder of the church was that Timothy practice earnestly, moment by moment, a life and words that properly represented the Word of God that he taught. That besides the requirement to preach the Word of God, he live moment by moment what he taught. I myself have never been a great student of textual study in any subject my entire life. I graduated in the top 5% of my high school. I studied. I was a hard worker. I really tried. There were over 900 of us that graduated. But it's a difficult study for me to sit down and read and learn. It's a confession I must make. I don't reveal this quality about myself to represent to you some sort of excuse. If we do not take advantage of the access we have to God's Word, we are sitting ducks, as they might say, to any and all false teaching that is going to constantly attempt to work its way into our lives. Like the fair-minded people of Berea, we must access the Word of God as much as it takes to ever and always compare what we are taught with the Word of God. What I do desire to feature, however, with this confession is another just as important way for us to take Paul's admonition to Timothy personally. See, you can become learned on any subject by studying related texts until your eyes become crossed. You can read. You can reread. Then read some more. You can cross-reference, word study, apply context, and apply history. You can know all things, but if you don't do anything with that knowledge you have, your knowledge in that subject has truly become worthless. This, of course, is not a Kellyism, it's not a UCGism, it's not a Church of Godism, but you may have already considered a scripture that has come to mind. If you were to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and verse 2, this chapter, as we know, is known as the love chapter. We read, "And though I have the gift of prophecy..." Now, prophecy isn't just telling the future. It's also telling the truth. Okay, it's teaching the Word, which in God's Word includes God telling some of the future. Okay, so there is the gift of prophecy. You can understand all mysteries and all knowledge. I can have all faith. You put all those together, trust me, you and I, when we meet somebody like that, we're going to be in awe of that person. Those are a lot of wonderful qualities. I mean, imagine a person having all of those qualities and a faith that could remove mountains. Okay, but what does it say? "But if I have not love, I am nothing." All of those things mean nothing if we do not have the love of God. That love is agape. That is something God gives us. Like Paul wrote to Timothy, we must learn to use the knowledge we have to master our own behavior. And furthermore, we must practice becoming masters of the thoughts that cause us to have to master that behavior. I'll say that again. We must learn to use the knowledge we have to master our behavior. Any good person will do that. They will try to take what they've learned as good and they will try to change their behavior. But the Spirit of God gives us something more important to do even than that, although in doing it, we will master our behavior. Furthermore, we must practice becoming masters of our thoughts that cause us to have to learn to master how we behave, what we do. I'm not going to go to it. If you had a chance this sometime before you go to bed this evening to maybe just glance into John 13, 34 and 35, and 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 through 13. In there will be discussed what Jesus Christ gave his disciples as a new commandment, which was to love one another. And it goes into how God is in us and us in him in practicing this love. And this is how we are identified with him. But real quickly, or as quickly as I can, I want to go into an excerpt of a sermon that was given by Mr. Herbert Armstrong on February 4th, 1984. It was a sermon on unity, and in this particular section, he was talking about the tree of life. So I'll begin. And if I could impersonate him, I would. I would love to. Now, while I was at camp in Australia, some children, and they were the children of some of our ministers or grandchildren, and they were anywhere from 3 or 4 up to 6 or 7 years of age. Just children. I'm not talking about the youth or the campers or about the others there, but just the children that happened to be there. And they had produced a large chart for me with a drawing of a tree. There was the trunk and then a lot of bushes around it. And they had the 10 commandments on the leaves for the tree of life. Well, that gave me an idea. So I went a little further in elaborating on it. Now, I see at my right is a chart of the tree of life, and if you can hear, as I look at it, the root of that tree, from which it gathers all of its life, and everything comes from the root, is God. Then the main trunk of the tree is the Spirit of God. And above, on one side, are 4 main branches off of that trunk. The 4 main branches are the first 4 of the 10 commandments. And they are express love toward God. Then there are 6 other major branches. Not quite so large because they are really not as important as those first 4. And they denote love toward fellow man. The last 6 of the 10 commandments. So from God flows life in the form of the Holy Spirit that is injected into those who take of this tree. And with life comes the knowledge of the way of life, of good and evil. Love toward God and love toward neighbor. Then the very many other branches are all of the other things that come under love toward God and love toward neighbor. In other words, other ways that you love God and that you love neighbor. Then it comes out to the branches and the final fruit. And the fruit born, you'll see is, well, I can't read it all from here. Remember, he was very aged at that point. But it is love and joy and peace and happiness and accomplishment, unity and togetherness, and all those things are the fruit. Now, I'll just interject here. Of course, he was referring to Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit. He continues, now if Adam had taken of that fruit, he would have taken what came from the root and up through the trunk of the tree. He would have had the Spirit of the life of God. He would have done the way of God. And the Spirit of God to give him the knowledge of that way, to give him the love to fulfill that way. This is all from God. To give him the power to live that way, and then to produce the fruit of peace and joy and happiness, and of every kind of abundance and everything that mankind could want. You see, it's going back to me. Those who have come after the printing press have slowly, over time, been given unprecedented access to the Word of God. And Now, for this generation, more than ever, we, more than anybody, have access to the Word of God. This access is also available to those who would pervert the Word of God. So with privilege comes also the responsibility that we not take that access for granted. We must be like the fair-minded people of Berea and check all teachings against the sure, sound Word of Scripture. With God's Spirit in us, we cannot fail and will not be deceived. Now, there's a gentleman that started his own church again this week. And he's quite a fellow. And we must always test what people teach, test what people do, how they behave, because we got to be careful. That said, unless you and I use whatever knowledge we do have in conjunction with His Spirit to bear fruit, we are attached to a tree where we serve no purpose. It doesn't matter how sturdy as a branch we may be. It does not matter how free of disease our leaves may be, or how green and lush. God is looking for and does require fruit of you and of me. How many have gone before us who showed us great knowledge and who, I have no doubt, studied vigorously their Bibles daily, who gave sound counsel, who rightly divided the word of truth from the pulpit, and yet they're not with us anymore. The tree looked great. Plenty of knowledge was there. But when push came to shove, the spirit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control were not to be found. I beg that God give me the strength and ability to become a better student of the Bible. I know that I need to be. In it are the words of life, and that is eternal life. But I also know that anybody who has the commandments of God and has the knowledge of salvation through Jesus Christ has a full plate in front of them to develop the fruits of God's Holy Spirit.